we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast, and I am truly happy to be today to be joined by a wonderful guitarist, wonderful singer. He is Michael Grant, and he has the new album, Michael Grant and the Assassins, Always the Villain, coming out on July 10th. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for that awesome intro.
Well, honestly, I had a chance to listen to the album, and it's really strong, really, like, you know, all the way through, every song is great. And
thank you.
You know, and I'm just really happy that that you finally got a chance to bring it out. I mean, I guess 2018 is when you started working at it, on it. Would have been just around the time that just after you left LA Guns, I guess.
That's pretty much exactly the timeline right there. And yeah, definitely had to go through some intensity to put this album out. But in the end, I'm very happy with the end result.
For sure. Well, I mean, no question about it. Now, I mean, my co-host Mo made a joke about why isn't this actually just called Michael Grant and the Assassin, because you only have Shane Fitzgibbon playing drums on like 5 tracks.
Exactly. And he's busy doing great things himself, so he's not even an option. I mean, he would be one of my choices for sure to tour with, but he's such a busy guy. I think he's like production assistant for Kanye West right now.
Oh, pshaw. Who's that guy, right?
Right. So, you know, he's definitely in another gear. But we were, you know, it was during around the time of the LA Guns split that I was jamming with Shane, and you know, everything felt right, but he had to do other things.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to call in my co-host so that he can get in on the action. So you're joining us live in progress. So
live in progress, and I'm not even that important to the show. But hello, Michael. Really nice to talk to you.
How's it going, brother? Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome. Brett, keep going with where you are, and I'll jump in from there.
All right, fair enough. So of course you played all the instruments on this except for the ones that Shane played. But you know, what's it like for you then to play all those instruments and kind of, you know. Does it take a little bit of time to kind of get thinking about, okay, so this is the drums and this is how I want to play the drums, this is the bass, this is how I want to play the bass, that kind of thing?
Somewhat, but there's a part of me that's always recorded in a similar fashion, even if it was just like demos. So this was kind of an exercise into full-scale production, doing what I had been doing in demo form anyways, you know? But there were some instruments that were pretty daunting to dive into. Like, I initially didn't have confidence in my drumming, and then after I had heard it, you know, put to tape, I was like, oh shit, not that bad, okay, cool. Nice, I can do this. But yeah, it took a little bit of like convincing myself, like, especially when you're playing drum tracks next to a great drummer like Shane Fitzgibbon. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it sets the bar pretty high for drumming.
Well, there's no doubt. Like, even as I was watching the video for Red Light Run, and of course that shows you playing the drums as well. And you know, it's one of those cases when you see you do it, then it's just like, oh yeah. I mean, now I really see it. Like, it kind of brings it home, and it's just like, wow, that's really talented. You know, that you're able to do that.
Thank you, man.
So one of the questions that I wanted to ask too is, of course, both Red Light Run and Anthem of Us, which is amazing, have the acoustic versions. So did you record the full album acoustically there?
No, actually, on the day of shooting for Red Light Run, my management and the label gave me a little ring, and they called me up and said, hey, can you do a couple acoustic tracks so we can kind of stagger and release them in conjunction with the singles we release? And it was a pretty tough day because I, you know, you don't know, but now you know, I had the flu during that time. I was just kind of recovering from the flu, so I was like not in the best of shape. And I had this massive workload of a day to record the entire video of Red Light Run and, like, you know, one take, no reverb, no mixing, just really raw acoustic tracks of me in the studio, like all in the same day. I mean, to some people, they probably like, oh, that doesn't sound like a lot. But like, let me tell you, brother, it was like a 16-hour day of some intense work. You know, I'm behind every single instrument and every single shot, and I'm having to do the drums over and over and over. I'm sweating. I'm like, you know, I'm a bunch of different different players in the game.
That makes me wonder why it wasn't called Michael Grant the Assassin. That's what I was.
I asked that. Yeah,
that was, you already asked that. Yeah. You stole my only question, bro.
That's a good one, though.
You know, I'll just get it for Brett later. Let's move on to something else then.
That's not bad. Why did I add that S?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's Michael Grant the Assassin. I think that would have been great.
I put it out there as assassins for like the future potential of that magic member, my Bonzo, my Jimmy Chamberlain, you know, my, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, here's the thing. Here's actually, we can tie this in here perfectly, because you could do Michael Grant the Assassin, then you could team with both musically and in the ring with Jeff Hardy, because he's a musician.
Oh, absolutely. That's my boy, man.
There you go. You know, so you could be his tag team partner and his musical partner all at once.
Perfect. And, you know, he just got reapproved to walk out to Endeavor After No More Words once again, after it being withheld from him for years for some kind of legal shit that everybody thought I was the cause of. And I absolutely was not. But yeah,
I mean, I know they like to do their own music and everything, but that song's iconic with him. I mean, that happened at the time his career went to the next level, and that song played a part of it, you know, getting him there. So, I mean, absolutely. The fans love that song. Obviously, and you know, I follow
that. I've heard him do, you know, like cool acoustic versions of it, and I've just been so pleased to see, like, he's keeping that song alive and the fans are craving it. It's cool. It's cool to see, to be a part of that kind of legacy of his, to even just be a part of it is really cool. It's a really, really fun journey to be going through.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear him come out to it again then.
Same here, man. I'm going to be just as stoked as everybody. I'm like, yes! I'm going to be stoked, man.
Yeah, hopefully this time.
Swanton Bomb, bro! Swanton Bomb!
Hopefully this time Jerry Lawler will call you the Endeavor After instead of Endeavor. Every time.
Right. I know. He's like, it's that band, Endeavor After. Get it right, bro.
He said it wrong, like, every time. Oh, so.
And Bend Over After, I'm like, no, we are not Bend Over After, bro. What are you talking about?
That's a totally different band right there. Yeah.
Totally, man.
I understand they're just playing right prison.
Totally.
Yeah, the assassin suddenly comes into play in that one, and it's just like, oh, no, it's real bad. Yeah.
Ooh, I see what you did there. Yeah, ass.
There you go.
He's clever. Quick.
We're taking quick. This off the rails real fast.
So when you're doing an album like this, you are doing everything. And now that, you know, as you anticipate its release, what kind of pressure do you feel?
I don't feel that much pressure because we're in a weird state right now. And I feel like it's a pretty funky time to be releasing a record, period, right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, you can't tour to support it. It's all online interaction, social media, and it's pretty daunting right now for the feeling of releasing an album. Like, but what was I supposed to do? Like, withhold it for a few years and totally Chinese democracy it?
You know? Rewrite all the songs and just do a complete
just do a whole nother album, man. Yeah. The seasides.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, but it is interesting, like, as a live band, I mean, how would you perform it anyways? You know, I mean, you'd need to bring in people and play with them, right?
Oh, definitely. I have a live band that I play with right now. It's Pat Ty Groves on bass, and I'm jamming with a drummer named Nick Mason, and they will probably be my touring band once everything goes back to normal. And we're just going to operate as a power trio.
Do you ever, like, so, I mean, here's the thing, right? You played rhythm guitar on for the LA Guns and with Tracy. So then when you play guitar, do you ever think, oh, I should add a rhythm guitarist?
All the time. But my main concern is music is so personal, man. My music is so personal. I need to find that guitarist who I really vibe with. And I haven't found that yet.
Did you vibe with Tracy?
I definitely vibe with Tracy, but you know, when you're playing with Tracy Guns, it's the Tracy Guns show, and you don't have free reign over your, over what you're doing. And, you kind of have to pull back so those dudes can shine.
So I guess you would know though, then exactly what you need in a rhythm guitar player because you played that role.
Absolutely. And I haven't found that dude yet.
Yeah, no,
he just hasn't showed up. You know, I've had plenty of guys apply for the job and, you know, no offense to them. It just didn't work out, or I couldn't envision myself touring with this person. The guys that I'm jamming with right now, I could tour the world with them, and it would be so much fun. And I'm not trying to add any drama to the equation, so I don't want to take that, you know that Spade, that badass dude, the guy who's always a problem, and you gotta, you know, make sure he shows up to the gig, but he's a really good guitarist. I don't want that dude. I want a guy who's level-headed and who doesn't, you know, who does his job and plays well and gets the music and gets the vibe and the image and everything like that. Those factors, when you add them all up, seem like it wouldn't be that much and wouldn't be that hard to find, but you would be surprised. You'd be very, very surprised.
So how on are you then with all of it, with the total image of everything, of the covers, the videos, everything? Like how much is everything? I'm guessing everything is your baby on this.
Everything is my baby. I have no outside help or any people speaking in my ear about how I should be or sound. Everything is just coming from me, which is, I'm really happy that I get the chance to do that on this record. And really convey, you know, like a piece of myself, a snapshot of where I was or where I, you know, where my head was at the time. And to have complete creative control is so huge for an artist like me, because I feel like to really transcend what I'm trying to say, what I put out, it's kind of everything, you know.
Well, do you have difficulty, you think, collaborating again with people in the future then, because you've had this type of freedom, or it'll be something you'll be looking forward to because it flexes a different muscle and it can be fun too?
I think it would depend what kind of song it was. Like if it was super personal song, it would probably remain the process that I've recorded this album. But if it was kind of like a fun rocking track and kind of loose and jammy, then I would definitely look forward to playing that live. This was, you know, the first time I recorded a full album this way. And it has its plus sides, especially, you know, I equate it to like an artist or a painter, you know, when you're, I mean, imagine if Picasso or Da Vinci had someone, three other guys in the back of them being like, hey, put a little nick of red over here in the top left corner. And maybe we should call it the 16th chapel, even though it's like, you know, the third. Like when people start putting in their opinions and it dilutes the original artist's vision. And this was the first time I didn't have that. Like with Endeavor After, I was the main songwriter and played a lot of the instruments as well. But there was a lot of outside influence, whether it came from producers, engineers, management, press people, your PR team. Like everyone's trying to tell you to kind of be a certain way, be more this, be more that. I think there was a total cathartic sense of freedom to this particular album, the way it was recorded, the way I was able to just kind of write. And, you know, it took, I think I was a couple months past my deadline. The label was still pretty cool about it. So I think I really am grateful that I had the opportunity to record this way. It probably will remain like this in the future. And little sprinkles of some live stuff, maybe. But I enjoy how things are coming out when I do it this way, so.
No, that's great. I'm interested in, like, when did you write the songs for the album? Was it all in 2018, basically, or did you
some
start?
Some tracks I've had for years. Some tracks on the record I've had for years, and I either rewrote them or refined them or rearranged them, but I would say 80% of the album I wrote, you know, between the time I broke off from LA Guns and the whole, you know, 2 years of releasing that record, in that time I was writing songs, and the 12 songs, or 13 if you get the Japanese release, the 13 or 12 songs, those are just kind of like the fairest representations.
How the hell does Japan always get the good stuff?
Yeah, it just seems so unfair, so unfair. But
it is.
I guess we'll just that have to move fair, to Japan. Though. Yeah, that's right.
We know
that's
that.
well, we know this, that I'm sure that if you go to Japan, then you're probably going to play to wonderful audiences. So that's because
definitely,
Lord knows. I mean, the type of music that this is and that we all love is, you know, goes over so well over in Japan.
I'm excited. We're actually already planning and have a couple dates pre-booked for Japan and Singapore and China, Thailand and Philippines. And, you know, I'm Filipino, so one of the most places I'm excited to play is Philippines, because I haven't played there, you know, since I was like 12 years old or something like that, 13 maybe.
Wow. Yeah, that is amazing.
I could tell Grant is a Filipino name.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, I'm the one on this podcast that's the one who's always late and causing troubles. I'm the guy you don't want in the band.
There's always that guy. I meet a lot of you. That's why I don't have the guitarist position filled.
Well, don't ask Mo to fill up the guitar position then.
Good.
That would not be good.
Thanks for the pre-warning, because I was this close to being like, "Yo, Mo."
You know what? I'll admit, Brett, I'd leave you in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah.
What kind of gear are you rocking, bro?
Well, right now I got a thong on.
Oh, and, shit, you're hired. That's a prerequisite right there.
Oh yeah, no.
There you go.
So then, when you do wind up playing on stage and you know you're actually bringing out the songs, do you plan on playing a lot of the End Ever After songs as well?
You know, I haven't really thought about that. I think at the most, I'd probably play like an End Ever After track. I'd probably choose one a show or something like that, if at all. But I think for the most part, I would kind of. There's a part of me that really wants a clean slate and just, you know, roll with all this new music. I think if I was in the mood, I'd probably bring out one of those Endeavor After songs. But I don't think it would be like every night. It'd probably be like a special treat every here and then when I would hear like people scream certain songs, or like I totally felt, oh, whoa, there's a lot of Endeavor After fans at this show. I might pop off a song. But I think I'd probably still focus on Always the Villain.
Mm-hmm. Do you think
go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you want people that are End Ever After fans to find you and listen to Always the Villain and stuff like that and just kind of try to keep it? Or is that another thing that you're kind of like looking to build a fan base, you know, kind of from the ground up?
I would love for any End Ever After fan to come along with me on this journey of Michael Grant and the Assassins. But I'm also excited to see what new fans we make through this journey, to be honest. So I'm excited about both, but also definitely excited about the, you know, the prospect of new people turning on new people onto the music and, you know, getting my art out there to as many people who are willing to listen and willing to absorb it.
You know, it's funny because it's one of those things where as soon as I saw the title, Always a Villain, I thought, I'm going to love this. Like, I knew it because the title, that's such, just such a great, evocative title, I think, for an album.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I was right. You know, I did love it. So it was just perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, really. It's one of those things. I don't know what it is. The word villain it conjures up something I think in a listener's imagination, just
absolutely
that they add in, right?
You know, these days when I watch a movie or a TV show, whereas when I was a kid, I used to root for the hero. You know, during the writing of this album, there was a time where I was really identifying with certain villains here and there and just being like, man, this dude ain't a bad guy. He's like totally misunderstood. So I think it came from a certain, that's like one element of where it came from. That's just one little tiny element.
Well, you know,
that feeling where you're like, where there's that shift and you're like, man, I'm, you know, and in my own life, people were pinning me out to be a villain in so many instances, you know, in the press and in my personal life. And I was just like, you know what? You guys want a villain? There you go.
Hey, like they say, every villain is the hero in his own story.
Exactly.
You know, he's in his story, he's the hero and the other guy's the villain.
Very true. Very true.
Thanos thought he was the hero for killing half the universe. Just to tie it in there.
You know, there's as much as, you know, I didn't love Thanos, there was a part of me that was identifying with him because it was around that time. I was like, you know, man, he ain't so bad. I mean, yeah, he sacrificed his daughter and but he did it for the greater good. People aren't seeing the greater good. They're only seeing the immediate effect right in front of their face, but there's this greater good that he's thinking about.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, props to Thanos, because he was one badass villain, dude. I mean, tell me he didn't take your breath away as he made the Black Panther disappear into the ether.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me you didn't feel that, like, oh, my God, is this for real? I mean, you knew deep in your heart that it was going to turn back time and shit and bring everyone back or whatever. But you definitely felt like it was one of the first times in a superhero movie of a major motion picture where you felt that, where you were like, oh, whoa, this just got so real and so depressing. And I got to wait so long for the next one.
I knew people that took it so seriously.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That was a brutal cliffhanger, bro. Brutal.
I can't tell you how many times I've debated a snap with any number of people where it's just like, it's just like this moment, you know, you snap and like half the world is gone.
It's a snap, man. He was a great villain. He's a great villain.
But what character, is he the character you'd be then? What character would you be in the Marvel universe?
Man, that's a hard one.
Yeah, I know we went totally off music, but what the hell,
bro? I'm gonna go through the whole. I feel like I'd be like a Magneto.
Sweet. The villain.
He's been done wrong. His parents been snatched from him. Concentration camps and just like, you know, he can't help who he's become just because, you know, we've seen the movies, bro.
Oh yeah.
No, like I say, he's definitely the hero to him. He's definitely the hero.
And in a way, like you fall in love with him. You get really like involved with him, and like he's one of those villains who you end up somehow identifying with in some way. You're like, well, Professor X, you're a little bit too much of a do-gooder, bro. I think Magneto's got you trumped on the logic, you know.
This brings up an interesting question because, I mean, obviously, I mean, this is the artistic freedom you felt in this that you love. But you ever thought about trying to artistically try something else like that? Like try and write some fiction, for instance, that, you know, some sort of book or comic book or anything like that. Has that ever appealed to you?
That's definitely appealed to me. I'm not much of an artist, so I would have to hook up with a really exceptional artist. And I think that would be a really fun little adventure right there. Little fun journey to dig into right there. That'd be something I'd be very interested in.
That'd be really cool. Now, you can't do it about a band and the Sunset Strip or anything, because me and Brett already did that. Seriously. We have a graphic novel pending publishing that's like 180 pages about a band in the 80s and the Sunset Strip. So,
is it a fictional band? What's it called?
Fictional band.
It is a fictional band, yep. Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called the Kings of the Strip.
Kings of the the strip. No Z's or anything, right? It's just a regular S after Kings.
It is, but there's bands yeah, in it that. That. I'm glad you didn't. But
hey, we got all the characters. It's King Mob with K Y N G. You know, M O B B. You know, T K Grace.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Oh yeah. Like,
it's got all those. Yeah, we got all those 87 names.
Oh yeah,
we know. Michael Grant. I mean, yeah, we should call you Michael. Michael God, but with two D's.
You know, I was thinking about putting an umlaut somewhere. I freaked out at the last minute, and I choked, and I was like, no umlaut.
Or like Michael with an M-Y-K-A-L or something like that. Just you know, completely.
That's what I'm saying. Completely you're badass. You're on the right track. I mean, now I kind of regret it because I think, you know, guys like us would have really appreciated the umlaut. Now I feel like I totally gypped myself of that.
Well, next album, you just have to put a couple of songs with umlauts. That's what it is. You know, that'll
totally
fix it
totally inappropriate
up.
For like.
Oh yeah.
For like non-vowel words. You know.
Honestly, you know what? Now I'm thinking about it. Electric Boys with or Leather Boys with Electric Toys. Was
Whoa,
the best the title ever.
It's all got to be
yeah,
Z's.
Was yes. Until Always the Villain. Was the best album title ever.
Well, I'm stoked you guys dig the title.
For sure.
Honestly, I'll tell you, I still think the best title is the live album from Junkyard. Shut Up, We're Trying to Practice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for their live album is the best.
Those guys are rad.
They are. They are fucking
good
awesome.
Guys. Yep. Good guys.
Yeah.
Oh well, I know that we're running out of time. Well, we're way over time, but I did want to mention that Runaway, Can You Stand the Rain is my favorite song on the album.
Thank you so much. We got a lyric video coming out for that pretty soon.
Great. But yeah, and after listening to Anthem of Us like three or four times now, and I've actually sent it out to people and they're digging it too. So I'm doing
awesome.
My part to push.
Thank you guys so much for supporting, man. That's awesome.
Anthem,
thank you.
Anthem of Us that is my favorite. I don't know. It's just got it's great. It's got everything. It's got everything, man. It's it's modern, but it's classical rock at the same time. And got just a great vibe, and I just love
thank
it.
You.
And great
thank
lyrics,
you, man. I really appreciate
honestly.
That.
Yeah, I really like the lyrics.
Thank you, man.
Well,
so okay,
yeah. Brett, go ahead. Tell him what he needs to do.
Yeah. You got to tell everybody where they can find Michael Grant and the Assassins.
You can find us. You know, on social media like Instagram, we're on there is Instagram.com/Michael Grant. And you can go to mgassassins.com and you can pre-order the album there. You can also see our videos on there and any pertinent info. But yeah, mgassassins.com will get you the key to everything, really.
Awesome. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show. We enjoyed talking to you so much.
This was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it, despite Brett being on it. It was still a good time.
Hey,
you didn't party crash too hard, bro.
If I hadn't been here, then Michael just wouldn't be talking to himself for 3 or 4 minutes.
Brought up all the Marvel stuff.
That was
how do we go off into the Marvel stuff?
No idea how that happened.
it was the villains. We're just breaking shit. That's what we do.
That's what it is. Always.
Thanks
the
very
villains.
Much, Michael. You have yourself an excellent evening.
Yep.
Thank
Good
you
luck
so
with the rest
bro.
Of your interviews, and we look forward to the umlauts on the next album. And
try not to compare them to
safe,
this one.
Man.
They can't be as good.
All right.
Be safe, guys. Take it easy, man.
All right.
Thanks
same
for
you.
Having me.
Thanks a lot.
Later.
Bye now. We'll be right back.
This week.